blessing upon Benson as he delivers this, and Lord, that this would be a good seed that produces much fruit in Jesus' name.
This morning, we continue with our Gospel Revolution series. And so far, we have seen that what the gospel is, and we've seen that we are saved by the gospel, and also seen that we are changed by the gospel. And today, we must grow in the gospel. Amen. Growth is something that is very important. Every parent is concerned about the growth of his or her children. And every farmer is concerned about the growth of his plants, even goats and other animals. So growth is very important. And so this morning, as I share with you, there are three areas I'm looking at. As I introduce to you, I want to look at the imperativeness of growing in the gospel. Is it important? Why should we grow? And then how we position ourselves, getting ourselves positioned to be able to grow in the gospel. And then in the conclusion, I will just look at our mission for the year, gather, grow, and go with the gospel, so that we see that we are on our way going forward. So let's kick off by looking at the introduction, the imperativeness of the gospel. And for that, if you have your Bibles, why don't you turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, and we can all read it from here. There are a number of scriptures we are going to read together, and most of them I'll have it on the PowerPoint for us to read through. And so you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawlessness or lawless people and lose your own stability. But, the 18 is what is important, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and the day of eternity. Amen. But grow. That's what we are looking at. But grow in the grace. So what I want to say is that from this scripture, our God, our Father, expects us to grow. Just like any one of us expects our children to grow. And so he's saying, through Peter, that as Christians, we should take care that we are not carried away by error of lawless people around us. There are a lot of things, if you are not growing, you'll be taken away. But the most important thing to do is to grow in the grace and knowledge. This salvation, this gospel we have received is not just to be where we are, but to grow. And I have this for you. Imagine yourself being a father and you have a 25-year-old bearded son, and he sits with the children that are learning to crawl. How would you feel after 25 years? And you, let me tell you, spiritually, there are some of us, we've grown beard. Yes, in our face, everybody can see we are grown, but we are in nappies. God doesn't want that. So that's the challenge for us this morning. How then do we move from that state into where God wants us to be? And so, there is implication for us, and we need to understand this, that growth is not an event. It doesn't just happen. Now I'm grown, all of a sudden. But it's a process. Yes, our salvation is an event. You just cross the line into salvation. And before you know, I'm saved, shouting. But growing in this salvation is a process. And there are a number of things that needs to take place for us to be able to grow. And so, Peter uses the word grow as a command. But grow. Do not be swayed by the errors of this word, but you must grow. And that's a command to each one of us, that we see to it that we grow. And there are some ingredients that will help us to grow. And also, it shows that the grammar that is being used there shows that it's not a once-off thing, but it's a continuum, something that we need to ensure is happening. And those pictures that we saw from, you could see there were levels. And that's what growth is all about. So, Growth is a process of becoming more like God, our Lord Jesus Christ, and grow into maturity until he comes. Growth never ends until the Lord comes or he takes us away from this world. But we need to position ourselves. And that's the main thing I want to talk about this morning as our main point. Positioning ourselves for growth. And so, that's our second point after the introduction. Positioning ourselves to grow. There are five things we need to take note of as ingredients for us to be able to grow. One, Bible reading, prayer, worship, the Holy Spirit, and a local church. These are the five things that we need to ensure that we do something about if we want to grow in the Lord. Let's kick off by looking at the Bible reading. The Bible reading or Bible study. You know, the Bible, which is the Word of God, is the food for the Christian's growth. You know, for any child to grow, the child needs to eat something. If you have a child and that child doesn't eat, it's a problem to the caregiver or the parents. Very, very. And I've seen situations in those days when children were forced to eat. They were forced to eat because the caregiver or the parent knew if this child doesn't eat, I'm in trouble. People will insult me. This child will be malnourished. And there's something called kwashiorkor, whereby you see a big belly of this baby because there's more nutrition. The child is not getting enough nutrition. In the same way, if you are not careful in our Christian life, we become more nourished and we are blown to and fro by anything that comes our way. So we need, the Bible becomes our food. And it's for our own nourishment and also that as children of God, whether we are newborn, maybe you are here as Dave was saying, you haven't come to know the Lord. Today is your day. You could come and give your life to Jesus and you will be born anew. Or even if you call yourself a mature Christian, you've known the Lord, growth is important for you. And as such, you need to have the Bible and as your food. To start with, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 and 3 says, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. And so even if you are a new believer, you need to long. There's that yearning for food, for the spiritual milk, which is the word of God. That's what Peter is telling us here. Not only if you are a new believer, but also, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 to 17, let me quickly read that for us. For all of us, it says, but as for you, the one who have come to know the Lord, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, that is the Bible, the scriptures, which is able to make you wise for salvation through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so for you as a Christian living in this crooked world, if you are to have wisdom, it comes from the word of God. And he says in verse 16, which is a key scripture, all scripture is breathed out of God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof. Sometimes the word of God will reprove you so that you don't do the things you are doing that God doesn't like. It's also for correction. It's for training in righteousness, that the man and the woman of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Amen. God has called us. God saved us, not by good works, but Ephesians tells us that he has saved us into good works. And it's the scripture that will help you do what God has called you to do. And so we need to create that habit of desiring and taking the word of God and reading it. Daily, it should be done daily. And I'm saying you need to get a convenient time for you. I remember there was a time when I'm about to sleep, when I became a Christian, when I'm about to sleep, that's when I want to read my Bible. I find my Bible lying on the floor in the morning. The reading didn't come on. Get convenient time that you can read and understand the word of God. Some people like to do it early in the morning. That is great. But we all need to cultivate appetite for this word. Read maybe 5 to 15 verses at a time when you are reading. Or sometimes you can read as much as you can, but let it be a convenient time. A time, and especially also if you can have a regular time that you know this is my time to read the word of God, and that's going to help you. And to help you do that, you need, there are a lot of guides that you can have in forms of books that you can buy, reading aids that you can buy from any scripture bookshop, or you can even have it online. These days, the phones that we have got, there are a lot of apps there. Just type in Bible devotion. You will get about 200 different types. And please, you bought this with money, make good use of it for your spiritual life. Not just all those unnecessary WhatsApps that come. Not only that, but the Word of God. That you spend time with the Word of God. There are a lot of tools, and you can use them. And so when you gather this way, you read a portion of Scripture. And that portion of Scripture, at least to be able to understand what God is doing in your life and how you can grow, there are three important questions you need to ask yourself. If you look up, looking up saying, what is the Scripture saying about God? For example, if you read, say, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Just that one liner. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So you know that the Lord is a shepherd. And he's not just ordinary shepherd, but he's a good shepherd. And every good shepherd takes care of the child, the sheep, and make sure that things go well. And so you begin to think about your God and know this is a wonderful God. For me, the first time I understood this, I said to myself, so the one who created the whole universe, some of the things they talk about in science, I don't understand. But the one who created them all is my shepherd. Can you see how important you are? You are more important than any of the presidents in this world who do not know the Lord. You are so important. And he is your shepherd. Then you look in. You look at yourself. And that's where you begin to say, yo, I'm so blessed. Me of all people. In fact, if there are times when they are counting people, you say to yourself, I don't think they will count me. In this life, the government only knows you by an ID number. Sometimes they even mess it up. But God knows you by name. And so you are important. And so you should feel so good that God knows you. You are important. And then you look out. So with this, that I've known about God and seen in me, what is the use for others? And that's where you begin to say, who can I draw to God that they can experience what I'm experiencing? There are some of us, even our own brothers and sisters don't know we are Christians. That's so shameful. But it should be our desire to bring them to the Lord. So those are three areas that you can look at. It's not only on your own. You can also share with others. You can read the Bible with others. And that's very, very important. Because, you know, we are born into a family, and through life groups, for example, through family altars, a lot of us, the whole question of family devotion is gone. When we started our family, we used to meet with our children. We were together. We would read the word. And the Bible says that teach the child the way he should go, and when they grow, they will never depart from it. These days, we don't do that. We are so busy running up and down that our own children are being taught by WhatsApp. Our own children are being taught by the media. Where do you expect them to go when they grow? That's where we need family time together and pray. And when they begin to see that as you pray, things happen, they will love the Lord. When they know there's no food in the house, in the morning you share scripture and you say the Lord is our provider and we pray and something happens, they believe in your God. Miracles do happen when we do these things. And sometimes also we need to just remember we need to memorize some of the words of God so that we can apply them. The psalmist in Psalm 111 verse 19:11 says, I've stored your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. We need to store the word of God. So that's about Bible reading. The second thing is about prayer. Prayer. And that's important as well in our Christian life. This is the time that we commune. You know, if you are a child, for you to grow, you not only eat, you communicate. It's amazing that sometimes you may go into a family and a child is standing there saying somewhere, you think, what is this child saying? But the mom will say, okay, my boy, I understand. We will be going late. Don't worry. We are going just now. Maybe the child will say, mom, when are we going? So what I'm saying is that every child, every parent understand their children and they communicate with children. The way you communicate with your God is through prayer. And it's important that we make sure we communicate either alone or with others, agreeing together with our God. And I would suggest that in your time of prayer, in your time of even meeting with others, you can adopt this. I'm not saying you can. There are other ways. I used what we call ACTS. A-C-T-S. As a way I pray. And it helps me because it makes me pray the way I should. Acts A is adoration. You adore your God. This is the time. It's different from thanking God, but just knowing who God is. It's a form of worship where you adore your God, you uplift your God for who He is and the many things He's done and everything about God. You acknowledge Him as the God of this world, as the Almighty God. And then the C is for confession. These days, a lot of us don't even confess. We've done wrong things and we know we've done, but we think it's... But the Bible talks about the need to confess. That we come before God and say, Lord, I'm sorry about the way I treated my brother. It wasn't right. It was a racial attitude I showed to my brother. It's not right. Lord, forgive me. And then we confront it. If you don't confront your sin, you will never deal with it. But when you know you've done wrong and you say, Lord, I'm sorry, next time you are careful not to do it. And so that's why it's important that we confess. Also, T is for thanksgiving. How many times the Lord does things? When we are in need, we come, brother, can you help me in prayer and all that? But when it's resolved, we forget. That's what the Bible says. When the 10 lepers were healed, the Bible says there was a time Jesus was walking, he saw 10 lepers. And those days, you couldn't come to people. And Jesus said, go, and you are clean. Go and show yourself. And only one person remembered. Brothers, God wants us to come before Him and say, thank you for what you have done for me. I was sick and you healed me. I needed this and you gave me. And you say, thank you to God. Then you look at the S, which is application. That is where you bring your need. Your own need or the need of others, you bring them before God so that our God will answer. Then we move on to the third. The third, after reading your Bible, after praying, is worship. Worship. For me, worship is declaring the worthiness of God. How worthy our God is. He deserves our worship all the time. If we're a child of God, worship should become a lifestyle. Yes, we do it together. For example, when we are here, we have time like this morning when we were singing that we look at who God is and we sing songs and we worship our God. But it must also be a lifestyle that we lead. Romans chapter 12 verse 1 says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Present yourself wherever you are. You are a worship to God. You let people say, wow. For me, one thing that really encouraged me in my Christian life, it's an old lady, because before I became a Christian, I lost my mom, and nobody could take care of me. I was so naughty and all that. But when I went to high school, I got saved. And when I came, and this woman saw that my life has changed, he said, Benson, I will support you in every way. This woman was giving me money before we were in a boarding school. And that encouraged me to say, I need to live for God. Our lives is a worship. We should show people what change God has brought into our lives. And that is worship. That is worship. But coming to the worship time that we have, David, for example, blessed the Lord in 1 Chronicles, and this is worship. This is, you can hear what David is saying here. So he says, verse 10, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 10, he says, therefore David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly. And David said, blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and on the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom. O Lord, you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are the power and might, and in your hand is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and we praise your glorious name. Amen. This is an example of worship. You come before God. Just read this scripture and think about it. And you can imagine how great and mighty our God is. It's something that we need to do. And so when we come to Grace Gen on a Sunday like this, we need to worship God. We need to worship God. I was taught when I became a Christian, and now I never used to go to church. My grandfather told me, Benson, it was a Presbyterian church, so they had a choir. He says, make sure before the choir come, you are in the church. Their understanding was that as the choir are coming, the angels are coming with blessing. They are coming. And so if you are late, if you come late, the blessing has been shared. Brothers, before the first strum of the guitar, be here so that you can also receive the blessings of the Lord. Well, they believe in that. Probably, we need to learn from it. If you are not here, who should be here to worship God? God has an appointment with us. And we said it's 9 o'clock. And so God is here. It could be true. God is giving blessings to those who are here. So let's change our... It's about worship. He said, Lord, I'm here. I've forgotten about everything else. Of course, I'm not saying that if they are running and you've been going round like I did this morning, God understands your desire. But we need to make an effort to come and worship the living God. So that's very, very important. And so we need to fully engage at church. When we are worshiping, we need to soak ourselves in the words that are here. Let's just soak ourselves in and think about it as we sing, and think about how great and mighty our God is and all that he has done for us, who he is, and all that is part of our worship. And then you can relate as you are doing this to some of the scripture. If you are alone, you can even read scripture and pray the scripture as your way of worshiping God. Let me now move on to our fourth way of growth, and that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. For me, I take the presence of the Holy Spirit as the air we breathe. We inhale and we give out. The Holy Spirit, we don't see the air we breathe in, but we know. The same way we don't see the Holy Spirit, but he is here. He is here with us. And so we need to devote time with the Holy Spirit. Yesterday, as I was thinking about it, it dawned on me again. I've said it many times, but yesterday was special. I realized that because the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, and he is with me, it means God is with me all the time. No matter what I'm doing, whether I'm in the bathroom, wherever, he is there. He is with us, and you understand it. As a Christian, you know that he is with you. No matter what you're going through, he never leaves you nor forsake you. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. So the question is, how does the Spirit help me? How does the Spirit help me? One, he helps us by in telling others about God. It's not easy, even in your own family, to tell them about God, about Jesus and what he has done. But it's the Holy Spirit who helps us to be able to do that. That's one thing. Number two, he helps us to be obedient to God. In Exodus chapter 36, verse 20, it says, I will put my spirit in you and move you to obey me. When the Holy Spirit is in you, I'm telling you, he says, Benson, this is wrong. And you can feel it. You can feel it. You can see it. And then he's able to say, don't do it. And he helps us to obey our God. He also helps us to know we are saved. You know, it's the Holy Spirit that gives us that assurance. I was talking to someone who told me before I came into this church, almost every altar call I will go because I wasn't sure. I thought I need to go and be saved. I will be saved today, tomorrow, every day I'm getting saved. No! The Holy Spirit gives you that assurance that you are a child of God, you are saved. And that is enough. And so that is very, very important. And then how he helps us is he gives us tools for life. He gives us fruits. The Holy Spirit comes in and bears fruits in our life and then also gives us gifts. This is something that we should desire. I'm not going to go into details, but we normally talk about these things, the fruits of the Spirit, patience. Some of us were not patient at all, but by Jesus coming into our lives, we now are patient before God. Now, how do I receive the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in my life? I would say the moment you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you. That's the first thing. John chapter 3, Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you are born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom. No, until someone is born, he cannot enter the kingdom. And so, that which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of Spirit is Spirit. So, the moment you give your life to Jesus, you are born. Remember, Revelation chapter 3 verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens... If you are here and you don't know Jesus, maybe as this, as I'm preaching now, God is speaking to you. Yes, he's there through his Spirit knocking. You need to give your life to Jesus. If you open, he says, I will come in. So the Spirit comes and dwells in you. Romans 8 says, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. And so if we are children of God, his Spirit belongs to us. His Spirit is definitely in us. And then also, not only when you accept Jesus, but you see, I always use it like this. In my culture, you can knock at the door. If I don't open for you, you will stand there forever. But the moment I open the door and you come in, I haven't received you yet. Yeah, you have come in, I've received you, but I fully receive you if I get you a place to sit and interact with you so that I accept your mission. So some of us, yes, we've got saved. Christ is in us. We have received him in. But it's only when we allow the Holy Spirit to do his work of baptizing us, his work of filling us, then we receive. A very good example in Acts chapter 19, and it happened from verse 1, that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through in the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples and he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? These people are believers. They have accepted Jesus, but they have not yet received the Holy Spirit. And he said to them, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what were you baptized? And then when they prayed, they received the Spirit. So we receive the Holy Spirit by being ready to allow him to come and work in us. How do we do that? We do that, the Bible says, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So we need to ask. That's how we ask. You ask and then you receive the Holy Spirit. Secondly, it's through the laying on of hands. That passage of Acts 19, when they laid hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit. And there are many places in Acts that this happened. And so we need to yearn to be prayed for. The church sometimes asks people, and probably today, at the end of this service soon, we will ask, if you want to receive the Spirit of God in your life, you want to be baptized by the Spirit, God will come through in your life. Finally, we need to be part of a local church. You know, there are times when we visit churches, but one of the ways we can grow in the Lord is where we have a place that we call home, family. You know, I because I lost my mom and I was naughty, I remember I stayed with about four people. You move here, they take you there, they take you there, they take you there. Life was bad. But if you have a home where you can eat, you can sleep and have warmth, that is very important. So what I'm saying this morning is that the church is a place that we can get warmth, we can get fellowship, just like naturally we need a home to be able to grow. This is your family. Maybe you need to ask yourself, do I have a family? If you are in this together, then we should thank God. Then I will say the church is also the Bible says, is the manifold wisdom of God. And through the church, God is able to do mighty things, like what they were telling us about the university. It's through the church. And we need to be part of the church. And then we will see the power of God. The power of God will come through as we work together in the church. And so this morning, what am I saying? Finally, we need to grow. We need to grow. God wants us to grow. And the way we can grow is when we give attention to His Word, when we spend time communicating with Him through prayer, when we worship and adore Him and honor Him, when we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, and when we have fellowship with one another. Fellowship, that's the whole word, fellowship, like the first church. Then we grow together. We get warmth from one another. It's like when you want to bry and you separate the coal will die. But as long as they are together, you are able to have your bry. As we share with one another, we have power together, and God begins to work in us. Please, when something goes wrong, don't run away from the church because you will die. I'm not saying you will die physically, but you are like a coal that has been taken out, and that's where the enemy gets you. So I pray that together we will gather, and then we will grow and go to do what God has called us to do. Amen. Amen. Thank you.